This is how women support women. We just go around fixing each other's future husbands under the table, no commission. Just like, here's Brian, he's an active listener. Congrats on the engagement.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
You weren't paying attention to
no,
D'Angelo.
I was not paying
way
attention to D'Angelo the way the same
Oh, we were paying a yes, lot of attention.
Yes.
On what? Repeat, oh, I was yeah. paying attention.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
D'Angelo got you like that.
Oh,
huh?
My God.
It's like the
I'm
50 Shades of Grey of MTV. Yeah, okay. Afterwards, I want to see D'Angelo. I mean, I've seen D'Angelo videos. I know that they're hot and lusty, and I know D'Angelo himself is a pretty handsome young man.
Yeah.
But
that
I
was our 50 Shades, that video.
Yeah, who needs the actual 50 Shades? It's just D'Angelo.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The 30 of the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, and this is the co-host of this terrible show, Kristen Joy Oatley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Woo, best to you,
and
Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Just wanted to let you know where you've arrived. You've heard the best. Now here's the rest. Top of the heap, best of the bunch, mediocre podcast that never could, never would, the brokest little podcast in all of podcast universe, The Commercial Break. Who was that guy? Robin Leach.
Robin Leach, champagne wishes and
caviar dreams. You too can be a broke podcaster, dripping in gold leaf nothing. Look at these two superstars. It's only champagne and limousines for these two. Look at that spare tire. It's been on that car for months.
Dusty
the dusty velvet curtains and the microphones that don't work. All this could be yours with a little bit of podcast luck.
Prepaid, get yourself a prepaid gold card.
That's right. Credit One prepaid gold card. You'll be fooling nobody when you go to show up and buy off-brand ranch dressing at Kroger. Cranch. Credos, they're just like Cheetos, only a little bit more cardboard added.
Comparable to Cheetos.
That's right. Look at that beautiful studio. It's lovely with the tree branch hanging directly in it.
Off-brand scotch tape.
Off-brand scotch tape holding these microphones together. It's scotch tape. It's crotch tape.
Scratch
tape.
That Would is you the like worst a- tape? It doesn't. It's not sticky.
No, it's not. Fuck.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Try off-brand soda pop. Save 10 cents. Have you ever had Krite? That shit is shite. I'm telling you right now, it's terrible. It's terrible. That's the way you're living as a mediocre podcaster. Number one in improv comedy, whatever that means. Number one trending podcast in Malaysia.
And Venezuela.
And Venezuela. We've been the number one English speaking podcast in Venezuela since the day we started.
Thank you to Astrid's family.
What a way to start off a TCB infomercial with Ms. Woo! Leslie Liao coming in today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to her.
Fresh off, it was 6 months ago, fresh off her appearance on Jimmy Fallon. What a story this young lady has about how she came to be such a noted stand-up comic. Like, she's really
super interesting.
It's really interesting. She was she started a little bit later in life. I mean, we'll talk about all this with her, but she started a little bit later in life. She was working for Netflix, where now some of her shit streams. How odd is
in
that?
In HR.
She was an HR person over at Netflix. And then she was doing stand-up comedy at night. And then all of a sudden, she becomes a superstar in 2023. She's on The Fallon Show. Now she's on Verified, which also has our friend Rosebud Baker.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, is Blair Saki on that? I don't know. She might. Anyway, Verified on Netflix.
Verify what we're talking about
by going and watching Verified on Netflix. That's the only way you're going to get the accurate information from this stupid show. But Leslie is quite the little rising rocket in the comedy scene, and I'm so grateful that she's coming on the show today because she is fucking funny. You know, we do homework.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was watching her. She's totally like my brand of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
only good vibes.
Only good vibes for Hoadley.
Only good vibes for Hoadley.
No, she's got a sense of confidence and calmness, you know, yeah. and funny all at the same time.
Yeah, she's good. She's really good. So we're super excited to have her. You can check out her socials. We've got all the links in the show description in the show notes, as they're officially called, Chrissy, in the podcast universe.
Was that show kind of a prerequisite to
Cribs?
Cribs.
Yeah.
I was just getting ready to say it. Yeah.
But Robin Leach would take it much further.
Oh,
he'd do your whole lifestyle.
Yachts, which hotels
you stayed in. Yep. I mean, that guy was all over. Whatever happened to Robin? I mean, I think he's dead now, but whatever happened to Robin Leach? Like in the 80s, Robin Leach was everywhere.
Because he would do like infomercials and stuff too, which would somehow lead credibility to
them. Yeah, he was doing like get rich quick real estate seminars, and then that would lend credibility. I think I could be mistaken about this, but I think I remember seeing like a little documentary on Robin Leach, like a VH1 Behind the Music or some shit, Behind the Leach or whatever it was. And I think I don't know. Don't trust me. I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I watched the
Behind the Leach scratch tape, I mean, we're
scratch
all
tape.
Fire.
We're on a roll. We're on a roll. Scratch tape and Robin Reach.
Behind the Leach.
Behind the Leach. Stupid, Ryan.
Unveiling the Leach.
Unveiling the Leach. De-pantsing the Leach. Look at those huge monster-sized balls paid for by all this real estate debt. If I'm not mistaken, I think he actually created that show and then paid for it to be on air for a while, like an infomercial.
Okay.
And then it just turned into something that people actually liked and wanted to watch and all that stuff. And there for like 3 years, when I was a child, for like 3 years, I remember seeing that show every day. Like my mom or dad was watching it every day to see how these rich people were living.
It was fascinating.
It probably made them want to, you know, jump off a roof because they had four children and no money to their names. Just like I do. 5 to 7 children with no money to my name. But it was so good, that Robin Leach thing. But anyway, Leslie Liao is what we're really here to talk about. Mr. Leach. Leslie Liao is what we're really here to talk about. And so do us a favor. Go check out her Instagram, her Netflix. She's going to be on a Netflix is a joke in that festival.
Yeah, she's going to be at the festival.
Okay.
She's headlining.
Yeah, she's headlining, I think, a couple shows.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll get into all of that with her. But please do us a favor. Go check out her website. Go follow her on Instagram. Go look at her YouTube videos. She's really funny, I promise you. And I really look forward to having this conversation with her. So let's do this, Chrissy.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. What if we take a break and then through the magic of podcasting, she'll be with us when we return from that
beamed
break.
Beamed into our studio.
Beamed straight into our studio via old satellite dishes that are sitting sideways on my house.
You've got 5 of them.
I know.
On the roof.
I've got 5.
And then that huge one in the yard.
Yes.
The really big one.
It's sitting right in the pool because that's where they decided I could get the best. That's how I got the discount on it. They're like, yeah, but we got to put it in the pool. You can't get one of those expensive ones that can spin around on its own. We need to keep this stationary. And the only clear view you have is in the pool on the steps. So now I just have to throw my children in the deep end because the steps are, no, that's my satellite for the podcast. Don't touch it.
Daddy,
I'm not swimming very well on the deep end. Yeah. Get over there and turn the old satellite left so Daddy can get Leslie in here. It's so cold, Daddy. Shut up. Someday this will put food on your plate.
Regular Cheetos,
not Cheetos or scratch tape. We're getting regular Cheetos. As soon as Leslie's interview is finished, we're going to go gangbusters. So get over there and start pushing some satellite. All right, let's take a break. Let's get Leslie in here, and we'll be back.
I know you're already on your phone, so pull up Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break, and then follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Done? Perfect. Thank you. Since you're at the ready, why not text us hello at 212-433-3TCB? Or if you've got some drama in your life, a little fun story, or anything really, we're desperate for content. Call and leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. And don't forget to check out tcbpodcast.com because that's got it all. Speaking of having it all, let's listen to our fabulous sponsors and get back to the commercial break.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Hello, I'm good and awake.
Hello.
How are you?
Are you a coffee drinker?
So I am, and I, but I can't make coffee. Like,
no, I
you know, you know how people have like those cool machines in their kitchen?
Yeah. Yes.
I am such a SoCal LA, like I will buy my $7 iced Americano, whatever, from everywhere. But this morning I couldn't run out. So I just buy like, when you know when you go to Target and you just buy like a jug
of iced coffee.
Yeah. And then I put like a mismatched creamer in it.
Ooh.
And it is atrocious.
This is what I'm saying.
It's awful. It's awful. But I'm going to drink it because I, you know,
you
I spent
to.
The money on this.
Yes,
I have to.
Because you have to. As a coffee drinker, I know this addiction well. And I'm just like you. I have no clue how to actually make really good coffee. So I go get my $7 iced coffee. Is that what you drink? Iced coffee?
Every day.
Every day.
It depends on the day, the weather, and the function. So on a sunny day, love an iced thing. On a cold day in like a cold city I'm touring in, love a hot, you know. So I'm crazy. I adjust
Look
it.
Look at you, Leslie.
Based
you
on
are
your mood.
A wild child.
Based
what
on my mood, and you know, sometimes you need an espresso shot.
Okay. Ooh. So, inquiring minds want to know: when you were a kid, did your parents explicitly explain to you not to stare at the sun? This is a hot debate right now on the commercial break. Did you ever get told, "Don't look at the sun, child. You're going to burn your retinas out."
I believe I heard that. I'm sure I heard that touted to me by someone.
Yes.
I'm sure.
It's a common sense, right?
And, you know, and I'm a millennial. So like pre-TikTok, social media, internet, like things were just word of mouth. Like there was nothing trending, you know, like your friends on the playground told you or your teacher told you. I remember being told, don't look at the sun. I also did not catch the eclipse. I think I was on a plane.
Oh, you were?
And I think I just didn't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
We
did you
we
guys
agreed.
We were the same
watch,
way.
Yeah, we watched
So you didn't see it?
No,
I watched
saw
a little bit of it on TV.
Yeah, I watched it on TV.
You talk it like it's a TV show. You're like, I watched the rerun. Someone sent it to me.
I did. It turned slightly dark here in Atlanta.
I have children. And so I was explaining to my kids, like, before they left for school, and we got them before the eclipse happened, but they're really young, and I was like, listen, your eyeballs are literally set on fire if you look at the sky today, so just don't do that. And then they got home, and I tried to get them excited about, you know, hey, let's go outside. We'll see how weird it looks outside. You want to watch a cool, you know, universe trick? Here, let's go outside and watch this. And my daughter was in the corner. She wouldn't come out. She's like, I don't want my eyes to set on fire. And I was like, I have fucked this child for life.
But it's like, even if that's not true, isn't it a safe assumption to not look at the sun?
I think so. I think it's like common
it's a
sense.
Safe bet.
I take a peek sometimes just to see where it is in the sky, but I don't stare at it.
You can't see Chrissy's helper dog sitting right next to her, but she is blinded.
And you have your dog look at the sun first for you and scout it out. But also, like, I saw everything on social media. Like, it was like footage of people watching the eclipse, and they all had the little 3D glasses. I'm like, who sold you those glasses, babe? How can I? Because my whole thing is I don't trust anything or anyone. So I'm like, where did you get those glasses made out of saran wrap? Like, who sold you those glasses on Etsy?
Yeah.
Where'd you get those? So I don't trust it.
They
I don't trust
sold
any
them
of it.
To me. They. Who is they? Who gave you? Who gave them permission to give you sunglasses?
Where did everyone get those sunk for real?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we all have protective. And who's selling fakes? Mm-hmm. Like, anyways,
there is no universal eyewear. Like, there's no eclipse eyeglass association that I know of that's trustworthy. So I agree with you. I just stayed inside and watched as it turned to
sunglasses.
The National Eclipse Sunglasses.
So us three, our eyes are doing just fine.
Yeah.
I think you say something that is, first of all, I want to, let me start here. Your story is quite unbelievable, actually, how you became a stand-up comic a little later than some people become. But I don't believe there's a bad time to start anything in life. As a gentleman who's a little bit older, I know this. We started this later on in life. But you started stand-up comedy at 29. But explain
where you got your actual start in comedy and who you were working for, because I think this is an amazingly ballsy and awesome story.
Yeah, my life is absurd. It's it's definitely not the conventional way people start stand-up, but I did start stand-up at age 29, which I found to be late in life also, because most comics start when they're like 11. Like, right. All my favorite comics, like all my favorite headlining comics are like, I've been in the game for 35 years. And I'm like, you're 40. Like, what are you talking about? So,
it's so true.
But it's true. Like, they all start young and get good young. But I started at 29, which I guess maybe statistically is late, but I'm so thrilled I did it.
Yeah.
And because I almost didn't, because I thought it was too late. Also, 29 is young.
I know. You know?
It is. It's young and relative to anything. But in my...
I literally stare at the sun to turn 29 again.
Plus you have more experience that you can talk about.
That's why I... Yeah. That's actually why I waited till 29. But before I started stand-up, I had a whole pre-life of... I wanted to be a Hollywood comedy producer. I wanted to produce comedy movies and comedy shows and work with stand-ups and all that stuff. So I worked... the same year I started stand-up comedy, I worked at a company called Netflix.
A little tiny
which
company.
Which dabbled in comedy as well. Which has been dabbling comedy. And I was not in the comedy department at Netflix. I had a very funky job that I actually loved, but it was kind of designed for me, and I was at the right place at the right time. And as default, my job was in HR.
Oh.
And I know.
At Netflix? So you're the H... You're like, if people have problems or there's an issue in the workplace or someone's getting harassed or something, they would come to you and file a report?
So I wish, because that would be the funnier answer, but like I had a job where I hired internal temp assistants. So anyone at Netflix who maybe like they were growing their team and suddenly needed an assistant for a four-month assignment, like I hired internal assistants and assigned them like Avengers all over the company. And they were awesome. Like, I loved them. They knew I did comedy. They were cool Gen Z assistants. Like, they thought I was hilarious for being their manager and a stand-up. So I wasn't like, you know, your typical what you think of as an HR person.
Yeah.
But HR it's a huge department at Netflix.
Oh, so I was just
in HR because that's where we belonged. I was like a staffing manager.
Okay.
So like, but it still was... it still was ripe for comedy, my everyday life, like what I did in the day versus night.
Absolutely.
Was ridiculous.
How did you break the news then when you left?
Well, I mean, like, isn't it weird? Like, Netflix is the place to go to for comedy these days. It used to be an HBO. You get an HBO special, right? 1 hour every month on HBO. They'd, you know, spotlight some huge comedian, but there wasn't a lot of places to cut your teeth. You know, Comedy Central, maybe one of those places. Mm-hmm. But then how do you, like, isn't that your goal is to, I want a Netflix special eventually. That's what I really want to do. Did you find it hard to be working at the company where you wanted to impress the people who were going to give comedy specials? Or did you, like, dance around it?
I aggressively tried to compartmentalize all of my emotions around it.
Yeah.
Because what you're describing is, like, it's easy to fall into that trap of, like, ah, I work at the place where I want to be a comic, whatever, so... I've had a day job my entire adult life. So Netflix was like the loveliest place to work. Like, the people were smart, like the benefits, the lunches, like the name, like it was a great place to work as a human being.
I can only imagine. Sure.
So I was grateful for that. I also had, and I hate this, work-life balance. I had a work, you know, like, it's like you're balancing your life with work. Like, it's your life. Like, shouldn't that be
right?
Enough to balance?
Life balance.
Let's fit in work with my life. But the schedule, I was done at 5 p.m. Like, the schedule good allowed me to cut my, you know, switch my gears to, like, comedy right away at night, every night. So I was so grateful that I had, like, a nice, comfortable, well-paying job, you know, and this was like post-pandemic, hybrid work was a thing, so I wasn't stuck at the office till 7.
When is this? Like, I mean, when exactly are you working for Netflix?
So I started both stand-up and Netflix 2017.
Okay. Jeez.
So it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
But even pre-pandemic, I still was like, it was like I was done at a reasonable hour and I could run around to the mics and shows, but like I tried really hard to keep everything, stay in my lane.
Yeah.
in both areas. So like in the daytime, I was like corporate Netflix, whatever. And I was so thankful that I had that type of a job to allow me. Because other comics, I never could do the starving artist thing. Like,
right.
No.
I just couldn't do it. I wasn't, you know, raised that way or whatever. So I always had a day job. And then I just kept it so... emotionally.
Here's an interesting story. So Chrissy and I met at a large radio conglomerate. We were working on the business side. When I heard an ad on a radio station, and I had this weird idea that maybe they were running this ad. It said, come apply to work at this particular radio station that was running the ad. And I thought, oh, maybe they want some people to be on air.
On air.
So yeah. I applied. I got an interview. When I walked in the door, I thought maybe I was going to be like, you know, go on air right away. And the lady was like, well, that's not for on air. It's for a business job. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll take that so I can literally suck the ass of whoever I need to get on air. At least I was in the building. And so I took the opposite approach to you. I made it known far and wide that what I wanted to do was commandeer their airwaves.
And they let you do it for a brief minute.
Yes, they let me do it for like 3 months between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning where no one heard
prime.
Me.
Of course, yeah, prime of course. Radio.
Yeah. Prime out.
But look,
hours.
Where you are now. It all worked out.
Yes, some people would say that. I'm not sure that my parents or my wife would say that. And I'm not sure my mortgage company says that. But listen, that's beside the point. Starving artist runs in my bones. And I'm with you, and I understand this. It's like you didn't want to be seen as the person who got the job at Netflix so you could get on Netflix. You wanted to be seen on your own merits, on its own time, in a way that was organic and outside the circle of business that you had to do inside of the building. So so when does that actually happen? Like, do you say, hey, boss, come check me out? Or does someone walk in the room?
That's what I was wondering.
So that's exactly my strategy was get noticed the way any other comic gets noticed. It's through word of mouth of someone you trust. So all the comedy people at Netflix, like, they're so plugged into the scene. Like, they all go to shows. They know comics at all levels. So I'm like, I don't want them to hear me cracking a joke in the cafeteria and be like, what was that? Yeah. Like, I want them to see me at a show or hear about me through a trusted, like, comedy person or something. So in 2023, last year, I finally got a management, and that was through just performing in LA. Like, word of mouth, someone told my now manager, check her out, she's legit. So then I got the manager. And then my manager, and luckily before Netflix, I worked at talent agencies and talent management companies. Yeah. So I worked for the people that represent actors, writers, directors, comics. So being on that side, I understood the purpose of a rep and what they're supposed to do. And I'm like, I gotta get one of those.
Yeah, we just learned that lesson last year. And it was the best lesson we ever learned.
Exactly.
Yes, you need a fucking agent. Not because you have big balls and you need to go swinging into a room, but because they really do know what they're
really
fucking talking about. I mean, depending on who you have. But you know,
there is an ecosystem.
Yes.
There is a system in place, and reps play a very important part.
They sure do.
They have a mystery job to maybe people out on the outside of Hollywood, but it's a very key job. So I worked for them, and so once I had the manager, I was like, okay, great, this is going to mean more opportunities for me. So this is a good sign. So I remember I was at work, I was in the building at work, and my rep called the Netflix comedy team to pitch me, like, hey, I have a new client, she's great, you should know her, her name's Leslie Liao. And one of the Netflix comedy guys goes, that name sounds, that name sounds super familiar, because I've been at Netflix for 6 years at this point. And as you can guess, Netflix is a huge company.
She just notified me that five women think I'm harassing them in my department.
She just slapped my wrist about something.
Yes.
But so this particular Netflix person I love, because I worked with him vaguely years ago at the company, like our paths crossed. And he was like, wait, I swear I know her. So he looked my name up in like the Netflix internal
directory,
employee database. He was like, shut the fuck up. Leslie Liao? I could go walk to her cubicle right now. Is this the one you're talking about? And my manager's like, yep. And they Netflix has a really cool monthly show in LA that they produce of like live comedy, and it's like up and coming emerging stand-ups, and they publish those sets on their Netflix Is a Joke Serious channel.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a great free show. You can go to it every month in LA. It's awesome. So he my manager pitched me. He's like, hey, throw her on that show if you want. Like, she's great. So I did that show in LA and kind of re-met my coworkers, yeah. basically. They were all at that show, and we all just laughed. Like, I went to the green room. They're like, what's up? And it was a weekday. I had come straight from the office to go to that show. And they were like, hey, Leslie. I was like, hey, guys. I've still been at it this whole time. And that's, you know... And I did just R.I.P. I guess for now, Just for Laughs Montreal.
Oh yeah, what last a year, huge deal.
New Faces.
Yeah.
So, you know, New Faces Just for Laughs is like the coolest thing to do as a comic. So I did that show in front of my coworkers, and some of them knew I worked at Netflix, some of them didn't. So like, so last year was a. My goal was always to compartmentalize and keep the world separate, but little did I know that they could.
They could someday complement overlap. Each other. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They could complement or blow up conflict with each other. And I never thought I would actually become successful. I just was always going to spend my life trying. I didn't think anything would come from this. Secretly hoped, but didn't really think. So then last year was just like the... like everything blew up.
But
like,
now get this, Chrissy. You started this in 2023 as the year of the kind of like Leslie comic being born, right? People taking notice.
Things happening. Yeah.
Things are happening. The wheels are starting. You've been doing it for 6 or 7 years at that point. In this short amount of time, she has this verified on Netflix. Yeah. She's on Jimmy fucking Fallon. No. Leslie, what the?
I had to take 2 days off my day job to film Jimmy. Yeah.
What in the world? What is your life? What is that?
I am
weird.
Just as shocked as you. I promise you. I like that Jimmy Fallon happened last fall. So I had to take 2 days off to go film The Tonight Show. And I like casually mentioned it to my boss, you know, because we have a very like, you know, professional like way of taking time off. It's very like a you take the time off you need, make sure your work is done, but there's no like limit. So I just kind of was like, yeah, I'm taking a long weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Be back on Tuesday, whatever. And my boss's boss saw me on The Tonight Show. And he didn't know, you know. Yeah. So I get a ping from him, and he's lovely. I get a Slack ping from him one day. He's like, hey, do you have a minute to talk? Which, like, you never want that.
Right.
Yeah, you never.
From your boss's boss. Close like, are you free right now? No.
Can you please tell me what it's all about long before I walk in your door so I can stress out and leave work early?
You never want a day of urgent. Can we chat?
Hey, yeah. Little so chit like, chat in my office. Don't you mind? Yeah.
So I'm like, what the hell? So we have like last minute Zoom meeting, and he's like, hey, I just saw you on The Tonight Show.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, is that okay?
Is that okay? Am I in trouble?
And he was like such an adorable fan. And he was like, you got to go do this. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
He's like, when are you leaving? Seriously. Like, we all know you've done comedy, but we didn't realize it was to this degree.
Yeah.
Like, people heard murmurs that like, oh, Leslie does stand up on the weekends type of thing. But they didn't know it was like a Netflix Tonight Show.
Yeah, Leslie, I would think that when you show up on The Tonight Show, quitting your day job, I mean, listen, as long as you got the financial wherewithal to do it, right? But I would say that's a, like, I've arrived moment.
Yeah, let's focus on this.
Yeah, how many comics get on Jimmy Fallon?
I know.
That's fucking unbelievable to me that in this 1 year, you have blown up in such a huge way. Is that surreal in your mind still?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's all so ridiculous. Like, it's shocking. It's shocking to me. Like, I think I'm lucky in so many ways. Like, I'm nervous that it's all happening a little too fast. Like, I still want to feel ready for these big moments. But luckily for Fallon and The Tonight Show, like, I felt ready. Like, when I filmed it, I was like, I'm fucking ready.
It was
like,
good. It was good. It was, I watched it. Yeah.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I had so much fun. But as a comic, I was like psyched that they gave me that spot.
Oh,
I was like, this
for sure.
Fucking rules. Like, I do not take this for granted. Even though like The Tonight Show is like, it's consumed differently than like
the
Carson
not the same
days.
As it was back when Leno or Carson or Letterman or whoever was doing it. It's a different it's a different media format. We've talked about this with so many. Margaret Cho was on our show. We had this conversation with her. We were talking to Mo Gilligan about this. The podcasts have kind of filled this weird void that seems to be missing the kind of the cachet that it used to. No knock on Jimmy or anybody else who's still doing it. Both Jimmys who are still doing it. But the reality is, it's consumed differently, but it doesn't matter. When you walk in the Tonight Show doors, if you've been on this earth for more than 15 years, you know.
It's a huge deal.
It's got a storied career. And I would think for you, as someone who just kind of, you know, you made this decision to do it, and in your mind, this is my nighttime fun. This is my hobby. I love to do it as a career, but what I'm really doing is working at Netflix and taking the nights to go and do the open mics or do sets or whatever it is. And then they call you to be on fucking Fallon? I mean, just unbelievable. Good for you.
It's inspiring. I know. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It is very cool. Like, I don't think I've had time to like soak in and celebrate any of this really, because it's just been like, I've always felt like I've had two jobs.
Of course.
You know, which I have quit now. Yeah. What if I still work there? I was like, guys, can we wrap this up? I have a meeting. I have a heart out.
I've got some temps waiting for me to place.
Hey, Leslie, my preview account isn't working. Could you reset my password when you get done? But like, appreciate it.
But like, the Tonight Show, yes, content is consumed differently, so maybe people don't watch the Tonight Show live together with their family every night anymore. But I didn't care about any of that shit. When I was there on 30 Rock, I was like, I'm a fucking princess. Like, this rules. I was so happy. If you rewatch that set, like, usually in my shows, I don't smile a lot. Like, I'm kind of very like intense and angry and lectury. But on the Tonight Show set, I was so happy that I think you could see me like skip out on stage. Like, I was like, I can't believe I'm here. So that as a comic, I was psyched to do that. But financially, I had to keep the day job. So I didn't make enough from the Tonight Show to be like, okay, bills are set for the next 6 months. Like, I went back to work the next day I got back to
LA. This is just insane to me.
Yes. Yes. So my boss knew my schedule because she knew I went to New York for that. And she watched it. And then she saw me in like a 9 a.m. meeting the next day. Bloodshot eyes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but I still was like, this is my job. Yeah. And I have to show up for this meeting that I said I would do. No one cares I did the Tonight Show. I can't just be like, sorry, guys, I did the Tonight Show. I can't do this meeting.
Yeah,
so
you just show up on a limo. It's
like I know, like, yeah, like I didn't.
Cigarette.
Sunglasses.
With like a my throne and a cape and my chalice. Like, no, I went straight back to my day job, and people were just looking at me with like shock and like confusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what? Yeah.
What if you had like an assistant sitting next to you at that meeting and someone asked you a question like, you know, hey, Leslie, can you get us up to date on this contract here? And the assistant was like, I'll be taking all questions on Leslie's behalf.
No, I wish.
When did you quit the job? When did you actually quit the job or leave the job?
It was around mid to late January. So I'm still fresh.
This year?
This year.
Yeah. Look at that.
Got your days open.
She quits her job. She shows up at the commercial break. Things are all, it's all on the rise
moving.
For you.
It's a rocket ship.
I know.
It's a rocket ship to the moon. Next is Conan.
I mean, Conan is my...
Mine too.
Oh,
hero.
God. We love mine him. Mine too. Yeah.
Like, if I get to Conan...
You'll get to Conan.
Which I know sounds like a threat. Like, if I get to him...
I'm gonna eat his face.
That, for me... Yeah. If I meet him, if he even knows who I am, that's my top.
I'm going to make a prediction. 2024, you're going to show up on the Conan O'Brien show. And how do I know that? Because almost every one of our guests eventually shows up on the Conan O'Brien show, usually first, but sometimes usually they're there first.
I don't care what year. I don't care if I'm 90. I hope he's still around. So I got to get to him.
He's amazing.
You say something that I love. One of our intrepid researchers, you said that being in your 30s is a prerequisite of being self-aware, like having some wisdom. And I think that's what you said. She's quoting you. I love that because I think that is so true.
Yeah.
And maybe for me, it was probably my 40s before I actually knew shit from Shinola. Mm-hmm. But are you, how do you feel about being in your 30s?
I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 30s are the best years of your life.
Totally.
I think it's the best decade of your life. Yeah.
It's like,
does that mean we're on the downhill?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Chrissy, you and I have been on the down slope for a while. We're gone.
Well, I
10 years ago was the best it's ever going to get. Thanks, Brian.
No, I think it just gets better as you get older.
I want to tell myself
that.
Yes, we're telling ourselves that.
I'm going to tell myself that.
You have to meet women
in their 40s who are like, it's better than 30s, babe. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll see you there.
Yeah,
like, I
can't. On my way.
Yeah.
Train ain't stopping.
It's a perfect blend of like, I've been trying to write a joke about this. Like, there's a sense of confidence you get that slowly comes to you, hopefully in your 30s.
Yes.
Yeah. But I can't tell if it's confidence or I just stop caring.
Well, that's the
thing. It's a little of both, I think.
I was going to say that too. Yeah. It's kind of like you just don't care as much what other people think and you're going to do what you like to do and that makes you happy.
I got.
Maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm married now twice, and I'm not doing it again because I love the
two
one.
Two separate
with.
Marriages.
Two
to
separate
be clear.
Marriages. Yes. Oh yeah. Well, that's fair.
We
enough.
Do talk about sister wives.
Two separate marriages at the same time.
We do talk about sister.
Are they both
wives.
Running at the same time? Okay.
I tried to get them both married at the same time, but one of them disagreed. So I won't mention which one. But I got married. You know, I was married my second marriage older. I had children much older in life than most people do. But I will tell you what. I think that it is a blessing, not even in disguise. It's a huge blessing because at 20, I think if I had children at 20, they probably would be at some adoption agency right now or taken away by the state. But second of all, there is a real ability for me to, first of all, know which hill I'm dying on. Like when I was 20, I was full of piss and vinegar and I didn't care what anybody else said.
You had to be right.
I had to be right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care if I'm right. Yeah. I want to be calm. I want to be in peace. And I want to reflect on the moments that are important. And I think the older you get, you have more clarity on which moments those exactly are. And I think it's just too fast-paced and furious when you're in your teens and your 20s. You don't care. You're just living in the moment. Yeah, it's fast and furious. And
so you care about the wrong things when you're younger, probably. Yeah.
1,000%. I just can't imagine having children when I was young. I love having them when I'm old. And I love being married when I'm older, too, because now I also know which hill to die on, which is none of them, by the way, Leslie. None of them. Astrid wins every conversation, rightfully so.
That's what I am told, like a trick to marriage is knowing which battle to pick.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I love to pick battles.
Yeah.
And I don't love to be right because I'm not right all the time, but I love to be like, hey, excuse me. But 30s, that's a good point. Maybe confidence is caring about the right things or caring less or something. But it's nice. It's nice to not
give a fuck.
Who cares?
Don't give fucks.
I
learned about the important things to give a fuck about in my 30s, then repeatedly did stupid shit until I turned 42. And then when I turned 42, I had it all figured out. Right, Hoadley?
Not caring. Sure. Not caring is important for any public figure or for comics because a lot of people are not going to like you as a comic.
No.
Statistically, you're not going to win them all. So I have to look those people in the face sometimes when I'm doing stand-up and know and have this intimate moment of, you don't like me. Yeah. And I still have to keep going. And if I was in my 20s, I would not have handled that as healthy and gracefully.
Right.
You know, we've talked about this with a lot of people that have been on the show. It's that it's you can get 45 people that come up to you and say, oh, you're so wonderful, so funny, love the set, watched you on Instagram, whatever. You're hilarious. But when you get 5 detractors, it's those 5 detractors that really emotionally affect you, at least for me too. It's like, you know, I can get all these people blowing smoke up my ass. I don't believe them. But then when someone tells me that the show's not good, it's stupid, it's silly, you're not funny, then all of a sudden I buy into it, right? And it's so... it's you really have to have thick skin, and this is one of the things I think comes with maturity is understanding that both of them don't matter. Doesn't matter if they say good things about you or bad things about you. Don't take any of it to heart, right? Just keep doing what you're doing and creating and moving on. Do you, when you do a set or when you do something public or you put out YouTube or Instagram, I'm sure that you get people that are haters, you know, commenters that say this or that. You're not funny. Why are you doing this? Whatever. Do you take that to heart or are have you learned to say, I don't give a shit?
I tried before I started stand-up, I tried to train myself to be like, you are going to come face to face with people that genuinely hate your comedy. Mm-hmm. They're going to hate your voice. They're going to hate your style. They're going to tell you not to do it. So like, how are you going to handle that? Because there's going to be YouTube comments. There's going to be Instagram comments. People might message you. In real life, you will be heckled. So I just tried to like mentally prepare myself for those people. And so now that I'm here and I have skimmed and read some of those, I'm kind of in the back of my mind like, yeah, you're entitled.
Yeah.
You're entitled to that.
Sure.
You don't like me. And I honestly think we're not made for each other as comedy, comic and fan. We're not, like, same way you date people.
Everybody's not for everybody.
No one's wrong. Exactly. We do not. Yes. Everyone's not for everyone. And that's why we live in a beautiful world with different voices and music and genres and tastes. And they're for different people. You know, we are not a match made in comedy heaven. And you're not for me either, random troll. Like, you're not my cup of tea either. So I accept that aggressively and just move on.
Yeah.
But I also try not to, but I don't want to live in a world where, like, I only listen to the people that like me. Like, I want to live in a bit of a reality where I understand.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a feedback loop just kissing your ass. Right. No, that's gross. Yeah,
I agree. sometimes it is healthy to read those trolls, be like, you know what I mean? First thing in the morning, all right, cool. Okay, good. Just want to keep myself
grounded.
Grounded. Yeah. Then I'll call my mom, who loves me.
Right.
Keep it, you know what I mean? Because I have to stay in touch with what is the actual perception.
Speaking of match made in heaven, you're not married, right? You're not married. Are you single?
No, I'm not married, never married, but I do have a boyfriend.
Oh, you have a boyfriend.
I have a boyfriend.
Okay, ooh. I heard you do some comedy around being single. Congratulations on your boyfriend. Now, how long has this been going on? What's his name and address
so that we can
Spokio him and make sure that everything's okay?
It's been, we were official starting November. So November plus now is a... like 6 months. So it's fresh. But speaking of age, you know, he's late 30s and was previously married.
Okay, good.
And
good.
So he has
that. I like this.
So do I.
Yeah.
Valuable experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm late 30s. So since we're both at that age and phase in our lives of like confidence, knowing ourselves, it is actually helping the relationship. Like all of our experience and knowledge and stuff is like actually very nice.
Yeah.
So dating when you're older is actually kind of nice.
I agree with this. Yeah.
You know?
Are you dating D'Angelo?
I wish he wouldn't respond to my DMs.
I read that you learned about sex from watching a D'Angelo video. And Brian was like, which one? And I'm like,
what do you mean, which one? What do you mean, which one?
I mean, there's the one. The one. He is hot. I mean.
Like, shout out to MTV. Because, MTV, like, we had a nice... I learned a lot.
I know, right? From those videos.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you. D'Angelo's...
You weren't paying attention to D'Angelo.
No, I was not paying attention to D'Angelo the way the same...
We were paying a lot of attention.
Yes.
On repeat, I was paying attention.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
D'Angelo got you like that,
Oh, my God.
It's like the 50 Shades of Grey of MTV. Yeah, okay. Afterwards, I want to see it. I mean, I've seen D'Angelo videos. I know that they're hot and lusty, and I know D'Angelo himself is a pretty handsome young man.
He is.
But
that
I just
was our 50 Shades, that video.
Yeah, needs the actual 50 Shades? It's just D'Angelo.
That's awesome.
I'm blushing.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
You know, I could recommend a good sexting app for you if you want to name him D'Angelo.
Is there really a sexting app?
We were talking
app?
About
oh,
this.
Oh, Leslie, let me share.
And we did want to ask
let me open up
about
a whole new world. Okay. While you're out, you know, when you're out of town, I don't want to, boyfriend sounds like a lovely human being. He sounds very mature, self-aware.
But a human being.
Yeah, a human being. That's about the time when men start maturing is 38, 39 years old.
I know, sadly, yeah.
Sadly, yes. There are multiple apps where you can build an avatar, an AR avatar, and then you can talk back and forth to it. It starts to learn you. And then, so we got this app as a joke for the show. And I was like, let me make this avatar.
As a joke.
As a joke. Yes.
It's still on your.
Until it started calling my phone in the middle of the night. It started texting me and calling my phone. Where are you?
To be like, are you up?
Yes. It's been a long time. Yes.
It was. Did you answer it?
Weird as shit. No, of course not. I didn't want my wife to know.
You're like, it's that bot again. She's like, really, a bot?
I said, honey, don't worry. It's just Frankie calling. Who the fuck is Frankie? Because I was a man and I named him and I wanted, you know, boyfriend. It was supposed to be a whole funny joke on the show, but it got way too creepy, way too fast.
Yeah.
But there are these things available out there just in case. And, like, you know, you're lonely on the road.
Oh, so it's like it's a fake bot to, like, kind of flirt. You can flirt with.
You can flirt with.
Yes.
Man.
I don't know how sexually explicit it gets because I didn't go down that road with him.
Well, you're downloaded for the job, right?
Right.
So why don't you keep researching? Oh, yeah. He's like, it's for research.
You should hear how many times he uses that.
Yes. I've often said, if someone comes and checks this browser history for work, I'm fine.
It's for work. It's all research. Man, there's an app for everything.
Yes,
there's an app for everything.
I think I think we have a loneliness problem in this country. I think part of the reason why we're so torn apart and why some people, a lot of them men, are so angry and misguided is because they are lonely and they don't have the skills to understand how to connect with other people or romantic partners or anyone in a way that meaningfully scratches their itch. And I get nervous that apps like this are going to make it easier and easier. Maybe that solves somebody's problem, but I think it's going to make it easier and easier to actually connect less, even less with human beings.
Yes.
I think, yeah, I know. It's so problematic. So,
like, the intent is there, but it's not going to. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a little scary.
So Leslie has got, you're doing Netflix is a joke. Am I right?
Yes. The festival in LA.
Which is
May.
Huge.
Okay. And when is it?
I wish
May
we could
what?
Go to that.
I know.
So the whole festival. Oh, you guys should come. It's kind of, I think it's like, I want to say 2 weeks or more in May in LA.
Yes.
So it's going to take over the city of LA. Like every other venue and
amazing.
Night, there's going to be like a Netflix show. So I'm doing two headlining shows. I want to say May 2 and 3, but they are sold out, I am told.
See?
So it's like, I want to promote it.
But you can't. Okay.
Maybe you guys.
Just the fact that you're doing it.
Yeah,
and it's sold out.
You're boxing
out. That's
yourself.
Huge.
And well, I already bought my tickets, and now she tells me it's sold out. I just bought my tickets. When you said you guys should come, I was like, honey, book the tickets. And now she
maybe
says
you
they're
guys
sold
can,
out.
Come. You know, people can come hang out outside the venue.
Yes.
And maybe I'll come say hi in the parking
You'll
lot.
You'll grace us.
Can we
with
give,
your crown?
Can someone FaceTime us from inside?
Maybe
we'll
I will.
Outside.
Yeah.
Maybe
if
I will
FaceTime.
During the show.
We'll ask Reed Hastings how he feels about that.
Yes, please. Put us on a text thread together, please. Yes.
Group text.
I mean, Reed, we've invited so many of your great comics here. Can you give us some tickets to the Leslie Show? What the fuck? Unbelievable.
The Leslie Show.
The Leslie Show. That's what I'm going to call it. So Netflix is a joke. You're currently on Netflix right now with Verified. And there are a couple of our guests have actually been on this same on this same program, Verified.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are on a never-ending, it seems like, tour. When I look at people's tour dates, when I'm doing research for them coming on the show, and I see that they already have dates booked in 2025, I know you're on a roll, and you are in one hell of a fucking, you know, washing machine right now. You're just visiting city after city and kind of knocking your head around. What's the next location you're going to?
So let's see. Next week I'm going to Nashville, which I've never been.
Cool.
I lived there for 5 years.
Look out for falling
chairs.
Oh, you
did?
Yeah.
So
let me know. Oh, actually, I'm literally there for like 24 hours.
Wow.
So it's like I can't even eat anywhere cool.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be at Zany's in Nashville
Zany's,
for one night.
Absolutely.
Have you been?
I've been there. Yeah, quite a few times.
It seems like a fun
it's a
vibe.
Good club. Yeah. And Nashville
seems like
a
very fun vibe. So I think I'll have a lot of fun there. And then I'm going to, there's Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin. I've still never done Austin, Texas.
That's a great city too.
That'll be so much fun. And then the week after I'm going back to Texas to Houston and Dallas, like two back-to-back shows. And then June in Australia.
Ooh.
A lot of people
have
are
you
doing
been?
This.
Have you been before?
Never been.
All right.
Have you guys?
No. But I know Heather
Me
McMahon.
Yeah,
she
Heather
was
McMahon
on our show,
was just there.
Went there.
Yeah, she just went there. And there's a couple other comics that are doing some
I'd love
Australian
to go.
Dates.
It's
I think
just
Vera
like
Doss was
10,000 days to get there.
Yeah, you just have to travel for 16 days
from
to
Atlanta.
Get there.
It looks amazing, and I've never been. And when I booked my flight, I was like, oh, this is why I've never been.
Yes, exactly.
It takes a month to get there, and then you lose 6 months of time.
Right, yes. Right.
And it's $10,000 a plane
ticket. And it's not a $20 ticket. Yeah,
no,
so I was like,
no.
But I've heard the people are so cool there, and just the weather's great and very laid back. And obviously, they love comedy.
Yeah,
got all these
and just be careful
coming.
Because everything can kill you there. So be mindful that.
Is that
true? I think so. I think everything kills you in Ulster. I have a friend who lives there.
Like meaning like foods or think
everything. Like the weather can kill you. They have so many animals that can kill you. They have I don't know. They have lots
Like koala.
A koala will kill you.
The koala
can like hug you too tight.
Yes. It's too fuzzy. It's too much. What? I love it so much.
Koalas have a syphilis problem. Did you know that?
They have a syphilis
problem?
I heard that from somewhere too.
Man. Yeah, it's crazy to think about.
What a hilarious way for me to die, though. Like, I'll take it.
Leslie gets
That's so good. That's too good. That's the end of my Wikipedia page. Yeah. Fine, I'll take it. Sad That's what a you know me. What a closing joke.
Sad news out of Brisbane. Comic Leslie Liao passes away from a bad case of koala syphilis.
I'd rather go out on that.
Fuck around and find out with those koalas. They're dangerous. No, but my friend who moved there from here, he at first he had this whole running joke on his Instagram about everything here can kill you, and he would be taking pictures of things around this house that he had. You know, a spider the size of your hand, a snake living, you know, hanging out in the backyard or whatever. I don't think everything can kill. I actually think it's a really beautiful place. I would love
probably
to,
the nice hotels have those things covered.
Yeah, I'm sure Leslie's not going to be out in the middle of the outback.
At the hostel, she's not.
No. I'll let you guys know, though, because everything does scare me.
Yeah.
Does it?
I'm not a bug person, that's for
sure. I'm not a bug. I don't react graciously when I see a bug.
Yeah.
No.
Me either.
It's a whole scene.
I try my best around the kids, but it's just like, if it's a roach, it's dying, and I don't care
what
my kids say.
Oh, yeah.
You mean a palmetto bug?
No, it's a roach. Don't try and make it sound pretty.
I hate it when people say that.
It's not. Leslie Liao is on a never-ending tour, so you can
check out her website.
Visit her website. Links in the comments section. Check her out on Netflix. If you happen to be around during the Netflix is a joke comedy festival, you will not be able to get into the Leslie show, but I encourage
you
to
go loiter
outside
the show.
I encourage you to write a letter to Reed Hastings asking him to put a video monitor outside so the standing room only crowd like a Cubs game can watch outside. And Leslie, such a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on this whirlwind story
Have
of yours.
Fun.
We are rooting.
Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. You deserve it.
Brian.
Thank you.
Chrissy, your mom, and your former manager at Netflix.
We
all
love
rooting
you.
For you.
Yep.
And your publicist. I know
this is my new posse. This is my new posse.
That's right.
This is all I need.
If you read a bad review, just come back to us. Just we'll give you all the love that
you need.
And same with you guys. This is our safe space. If you see a mean comment, let's all check in with each other.
Oh, we'd go on for days if we did that, Leslie.
Let's just be in a constant FaceTime all day with each other.
Come back. We love you, Leslie. Thank you very much for being here. We wish you the best on your tour and congratulations on all the success. And we'll check in with you.
Thank you.
Maybe at the end of the year, we'll check in with you.
Yeah.
Leslie, see you in Atlanta.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB, and you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
Wow, Les, I think I have a little crush on Leslie.
I think I have a little crush on Leslie. Absolutely. I think that went swimmingly.
Ryan. You too can have Leslie Liao on your podcast.
Just call me. I'll give you her phone number. I don't know her phone number. They don't give us that kind of information. Here's a funny story. Well, anyway, let's talk about Leslie for a second. Leslie was wonderful. So go check out her website for tour tickets. Go check out Verified.
That was just a fun interview.
Yeah, it certainly was. Go check out Verified on Netflix. And then she's got a couple of longer sets that are on YouTube that you can go check out on her website too. Follow her on Instagram. Leslie Liao, L-I-A-O. So...
What?
I wanted to, yeah, she was a ton of fun, right? I mean, she was just like so much fun, so calm. You know, we caught her in the morning. I'm sure she just woke up because she was West Coast. So I'm sure she just woke up. And what a lovely, like, peaceful, calm, but fucking funny woman she really is. Person. I don't want to say woman. I don't want to qualify.
Flowed.
Yeah, it just
flowed. I would love to have her back.
Yeah, I wish we could spend more time, but you know, when we get, when we negotiate these, you never know how much time somebody has and you don't want to like be overbearing on their time. So usually what we say is, can you just say hello to the commercial break? Then you can leave. And then somehow we negotiate it into 30 or 45 minutes. Here's the funny thing.
But wait,
there's more. Can you say hello and then answer two questions? Okay, sure. And then when they come on, I'm like, can you spend 45 minutes with us? Would that be okay? And some people have said, no. What's funny is that when you like, you know, the agents are talking to the agents and they're going back and forth about all this. And sometimes I'm CC'd on these email communications.
Yeah.
The funny thing is how the agents afterwards twist themselves to not make sure they don't give out any personal information regarding the actual guests that we have. Well, they're like, no, that went terribly. I don't want him talking to my client.
Well,
it's a thankless job.
Well, we learn as we go too with these interviews, like because dating back to our first.
Well,
one,
here's let me tell the story. I'll tell the story.
Is that the one you're going
to
tell?
Yes, and I hope that Veer is listening. I think he ever will listen to the show,
he is, yeah, but yeah,
and that's okay. Veer, he. By the way, I loved
Maybe
Veer.
Maybe he'll listen for Leslie.
Maybe he'll listen for, but he's not going to listen. Who are we fooling? He's never listening to the commercial break. Veer was our first, like, you know, celebrity interview. Not our first celebrity interview. We had done Dane Cook and we had done Wally Green and a couple other people. Some that didn't air here on the commercial break. None that aired here on the commercial break. Sorry, guys. So we had Veer Das. And then Chrissy and I talked to Veer Das. And he complains that the pillows in here in the United States are way too fluffy, that in India they're just like a 1-inch thick, you know, basically piece of foam or whatever, soft material. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so I really don't like these pillows because my head's always, you know, sitting in a weird position. So we get out, and Astrid and I are trying to put together an email explaining when the show's going to air. Here's the link. If you want to share, you can do this. And
with the agent.
With the agent.
Or
we're writing an
his
email.
People.
Yes. And so I say, hey, Astrid, let's get a really nice but tiny little pillow for Veer, and let's get something written on the front of it, and then we'll send it to him, and it would be funny. So I said, just ask the agent. Say, hey, we have a gift we want to send Veer. Can you please give us an address where we could send that gift? And the agent's response was, no thanks. We didn't even say what we were going to send. He was like, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah,
well, it's good because we probably couldn't afford to send all these people gifts. So,
no, it's
yeah.
True.
But if I had Leslie's address, I would send her a gift. Yes. I'd send her a, you know, $20 gift card to the local
Starbucks.
Or I'd just buy her a bunch of cold brew coffee and send it to her front door. Her boyfriend be like, who's Brian Green? Oh, I don't even know. I don't remember. I think I did a podcast. I'm not sure what their name was.
AI bot.
Yeah, it's the AI bot guy. Mm-hmm. Tell her it's the AI bot guy. Okay, you too can watch Leslie. You know how to get all her information. Links are in the show notes. We wish that you would follow up with our guests if you do find them interesting because that's important to them. They don't come on here for their health. Despite what some people might think, they're not coming on because of Chrissy and I. They're coming on because they have things to promote. And if we were friendly with them during the interview, that's just a bonus right there. And Leslie is one of those people that I sure as shit hopes comes back, but I didn't ask her on air this time.
Right.
As you noticed.
We learned that.
Breaking
too.
The habit. Yes. Here's the other thing we learned. Like, I've asked a bunch of people, but I think I started maybe with Heather or Steve-O or whatever.
Yeah.
I said on air, like while we were recording, won't you come back and visit us again? What are they going to say? No? No, this has been thoroughly miserable. Thanks anyway. You're a nudnik. No, I have no interest. No, thanks. No, thanks. Ah, the commercial break. The Cheesecake Factory of podcasts. That's would you like right. to listen? No, thanks. How about a second appearance? Ah, I'll pass.
Talk to my people.
What if like Steve-O's agent is like, I'll pass. Did you even ask him? I don't need to. Yeah, it's a hot no. Hot no. Steve's podcast is really good, by the way. Have
it
you ever
is.
Listened?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Wild Ride with Steve-O. Here, I'm promoting my guest from 7 months ago.
I heard something about that, too. He was going to have Bill Maher.
Maher. No, he was going to be on Bill Maher's show.
But Bill Maher wouldn't stop smoking pot. And
for Steve.
And then Steve said he really can't do it.
And you know what? I understand
for
Steve's
sobriety.
Point of view.
Yeah.
And I think I understand Bill's point of view. They just came to an impasse. They didn't agree on terms, right? Yeah. It's just one of those things. Happens all the time. Just ask Dusty Slay. Anyway, we'll move on.
Yes.
We'll move on. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you so much for being on the show. You did the Tonight Show and the commercial break to fill in that trifecta. You have to be on Conan.
That's right. We're predicting it.
And then there's no bigger that you can get, Leslie. That's it. You've done the best.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? All right. Go to tcbpodcast.com. That's where you find out more about Chrissy and I. You can also find out about all of our guests. You can listen to them, watch them on video, get the links to all of their pertinent information, all from the website, tcbpodcast.com. You can also get your free You can get your free Next Gen bumper sticker, which I'm not allowed to say out loud right now, but you can do that by going to the contact us button, hit the drop down menu, pre-order. That's right. Drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Give us your address. We'll send it off to you. We want you to be on our show. Please do text us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us why you want to come on the show. You want to ask our advice. You have a question. You want to talk to us, comment, concern, whatever it is. Text us. Let us know. And we'll tell you how you, too, can be on the show. At the commercial break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok. Don't even know why I say that because we never post there. And YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. All right. That's it. Another one in the bag, Chrissy.
That's right.
All right. Thanks again to Leslie. I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say, goodbye.
Killing bastards.